And tonight, for our text, we're going to be going back into the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 103. And for many of you, I know that this is probably a very familiar passage. Psalms chapter 103. And beginning at verse number 1, Psalms chapter 103, beginning at verse number 1. And we're going to read down to verse number 5, if you'd read it audibly with me again. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I want to speak just for a few moments tonight on the subject of got to praise Him. Got to praise Him. This morning I was more in, I guess, teaching mode. But tonight I just want to take a very simple thought and remind us of the blessing of the Lord and how worthy He is of our praise at all times. And so let's pray and then we'll get right into this. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the hope and the joy that it brings within our hearts. Thank you for the times it challenges us. And Lord, I pray that you will speak into our hearts tonight as individuals. I pray that you will, Lord, meet the needs that we have. And Lord, if we need to be challenged, challenge us. If we need to be encouraged, encourage. Lord, if we need to be inspired, inspire us. Lord, whatever it may be, Lord, do what needs to be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And before you're seated, I know you thought I was going to just let you sit down, didn't you? Before you're seated, just turn around a couple people and tell them I've got to praise Him. And you can be seated. As I was meditating on the scripture tonight, I thought of a theme that runs through the entire scripture. That God the good, God the great, the God who is love is always deserving, always worthy of our praise. Now, as we go through life, life throws all kinds of things at you. There are some times that something happens and you're in that kind of situation where you just kind of shake your head and say, I did not see that one coming. There are times that we have the blessing, and there are times that we go through what we call the trial, the test, the hard time, the thing that doesn't go my way. And what really matters is not what comes my way, but how I handle what comes my way. And who you handle it with. You see, the things that come through life affect different people differently. It's very possible for the same thing to happen in two people's lives. One becomes bitter. One becomes angry. One becomes the kind of person that is very difficult to deal with. But another person who has the same situation handles it differently. It may be as a Christian that they discover that God is with me in the middle of my trial or my test. God is with me in the middle of the reversal that I have. And instead of becoming bitter, they allow the thing to make them better. God works in everything in life. The psalm that we read from is one that's the favorite of many. It also is one of the last four psalms of the fourth book of the Psalms. Now, if you're not familiar with the book of Psalms, there are five books that make up the book of Psalms, what we call the book of Psalms. And if you were here last summer in our Bible study, our midweek Bible study, we were talking about how each one of those has different characteristics and was used for different purposes. And so it was the songbook of the Hebrews, and they would sing the Psalms rather than just read them like we did. And so this one is one of the last four of the fourth book of the Psalms, and there are five books that make up what we call the book of Psalms. Each one of these four psalms, Psalm 103, 104, 105, and 106, each one of these are a psalm of praise to God. So it's like the psalmist is coming to the end of this section, the end of this book, and he says, how can I end this part of the book? What is appropriate? And so he begins to focus on the greatness of God and the goodness of God, and it's like he said, somebody has got to praise the Lord. So in Psalm 106, and I'm just going to go backwards from the end of book 4. In Psalm 106, the theme of it, he says, somebody needs to thank God for his patience. You know, I'm not going to get into deep theological study tonight. I just have a very simple thought that I want to share with you, a very simple reminder. But I read that and I thought, you know what? They were giving thanks to God because he was patient with Israel, because Israel, well, they were not always easy to deal with. So you look through their history in the Old Testament, you find that there were times they said, They said, God, we love you, and we want to follow you forever. And then a chapter later, you find that they're saying, forget God. We're going to do what we want to do. And then a couple chapters later, they're back saying, hey, God, we love you. Help us. God helps them. And then a couple chapters later, you find they're saying, ah, forget God. We just want to go do what we want to do. And in Psalm 106, the writer of Psalms is saying, I thank God for his patience, his long-suffering, that he doesn't turn away from us. And as I thought about that, I thought, Lord, I am sure glad you haven't changed. Because there are so many times that God has to be patient with me, and I know he has to be patient with you. And so I looked at Psalm 106, and I thought, Lord, that was written 2,500 years ago. But I stand before you and say, Lord, I thank you for your patience, that it's not Israel you're dealing with now. It's me and mine. And Lord, there are times I know that I try your patience, but he keeps being patient with us. That's Psalm 106. Psalm 105. He said, basically, and I'm paraphrasing here. He said, somebody give a shout for what God has done for the nation, for Israel. You know, I got thinking about that. And I thought about how many times do we moan and groan and complain about our nation? You know, we complain about our politicians. Hey, I do. We all know how to do it better. You know, if I were in charge, it'd be different. But I got to say, well, Canada's not Israel and Canada's not perfect. God's hand of blessing has sure been upon us. And along with the psalmist in Psalm 105, I've got to say, thank you, God, for blessing the nation that I live in. Thank you for your hand upon us and upon our nation and the blessings that you bring. And, you know, we are so much better off than such a high percentage of the world around us. And then we complain because we don't have the latest or the greatest electronics, or we didn't get the parking spot that we wanted, or we didn't get something that just my neighbor's got and I've got to have. But the psalmist is saying, turn your attention to the bigger picture here. That God has blessed us beyond measure in so many ways that I've got to give God some praise. I've got to praise him. than in Psalm 104. Psalm 104 is the psalmist. He says, you know, when I'm thinking about it, I've got to give God praise for his care of creation. That God created and he sustains it. And it reminds us of the responsibility to care for our world around us. But he's looking at the world and saying, God created everything. He sustains everything. And when I look around at the wonder of our world, you know, every time I look at nature, when I was preparing for this message, I was actually sitting out on my back patio. And right now, on two sides, it's just like a wall of green. And on the other side, it's like a half wall. And then the house is behind you when you're on the patio. And so I'm sitting there, and I know, you know, it's a cedar hedge. And it's some other greenery and stuff. And I didn't even know the names of it all. But I was looking at it, and I was just thinking about, now, maybe you never stop to think things like this, but I was thinking about how complicated it all is. Now, we planted flowers, and a couple of them had the temerity not to grow. I mean, it only took them like a week. They got water, they got everything else, and they just decided they didn't like the land there, the soil, or something. It couldn't be me. And I thought about the God who created even those little flowers. And then while I was sitting there, a robin flew in. And he came up, he flew in, landed about 10 feet from where I was, and he starts pecking around in the ground. And I don't know what he's finding there. I guess he's finding worms or grubs or something. And I thought, you know, I'm so used to it. And yet, God made that bird so it could fly. And he made it with some kind of intelligence. And a nervous system and all the rest of the wiring that goes with that. And just that little bird that we think nothing of. And I thought, Lord, your creation is amazing. And then we come to Psalm 103. And if you walked in here tonight and you feel like you don't have anything to praise the Lord for, in Psalm 103, he gets personal. He goes from the nation and he goes from creation. He gets personal and he says, now let's dial this in. Let's get a little more precise here and let's deal with us as individuals. And now he talks about individuals and the goodness of the Lord. And I've got to say that every time I read this psalm, there's something in my heart that just wants to cry out and say, God, thank you for your blessing. Thank you for your benefits. Thank you for the things that you bring within my life. As he goes through, he talks about to bless the Lord. And to bless the Lord means to delight God's heart by expressing gratitude for all he has done and for all that he is. In Psalm 103, verse 1. And if you got your Bible, we're going to be just going down through a little bit of it. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And then notice what he says, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Let my words, let my expression, let all of me that's involved in it, bless him. You know, sometimes I become so concerned that he bless me, that I forget that he also invites me to bless him. Simply by the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, the thoughts of my mind, that I can come, and not only in the church building, but whether it's at home or in your car or wherever you may be, that you can bless the Lord for his goodness. And you know, when you get to thinking, woe is me, how everybody has stuff that I don't have, how things are so bad for me, worship and praise are like reorienting our lives. A few years back, the first iPhone that I ever had, it took me a while to jump on board with that. I thought that, you know, if a flip phone was good enough for the Lord, it was good enough for me. And so I resisted. And what? And so, anyway, I got my first iPhone. And I remember in those days, if any of you had the old, I had the 3. And every once in a while, you had to take the thing, and if people saw you, they'd think you're crazy, unless they knew. You had to take that phone, and you had to move it in like a figure eight. Does anybody remember doing that? Yeah, Chris does. So you're standing there or sitting there with your phone in your hand, flat, and you have to make like a figure eight. And you're going like this with your phone. Now, I'm glad we don't have to do that anymore. But the reason that you did it was because if the compass that was in the phone wasn't working right, you had to reorient the compass, and there was something about doing it. I don't know how it all worked, but there was something about it that it would orient the compass right again, and it would work right. And so you were making the figure eight with your phone. You know what praise does in our lives? Praise moves my true north from myself and all that's going on in my life. Praise reorients my true north from myself to see a God who is bigger than I am, who is greater than I am, and it reminds me that I am not the world, and I'm not all there is, and that God is so much bigger than I am, and so much more powerful than I am, that when I begin to praise Him, He begins to change the way I'm looking at my problems, the way that I'm looking at the future, the way I'm looking at the things that are around me, and He gives me a true north that is greater than where I am right now. He reorients my thinking and the way that I am. He said, bless the Lord with everything that's within me. It's not going to be a half-hearted praise. It's not going to be just, you know, sometimes we're guilty of just, I'll give God a little courtesy praise. You know, like, how many of you have ever done a courtesy wave when you're driving your car? Now, I used to live in the country before we moved here. And back there, and I've mentioned this before, but when I lived there, I mean, you had to wave to everybody you met. Everybody. Didn't matter if you knew them or not. Even if it was somebody just passing through, you waved because you didn't want to offend them. Because it was just that kind of place. So you had this little, you know, you're driving along, your hand on the steering wheel, and you had this little thing you could do. It was just kind of, as long as you did it, that's good. Some of you are laughing. How many of you have ever done that? Yeah. How many of you ever lived in a place where you had to courtesy wave to everybody? I mean, it wasn't a full-fledged, hey, how are you? Good to see you. It was just, I don't even know who you are, but I'm going to wave because I don't want to offend anybody. And sometimes we disengage our heart from our worship. And our worship becomes like a courtesy wave to God that says, God, I'm in church, and I know I'm supposed to give you worship, so I'll just give you a little courtesy wave. And hi, Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm good. But the psalmist said, and all that is within me, I'm going to engage my heart. I'm going to engage my mind. I'm going to engage the spiritual part of me. I'm going to engage my hands or my mouth or whatever it may be. And I'm going to, with everything that is within me, I'm going to give Him praise. Do you know through this psalm, there are 9 times that He mentions the word all in connection with praise. 9 times. And then He begins to talk about what He's thankful for. First of all, He said, Lord, I got to give you thanks because you forgive me. That kind of hit home because we all needed forgiveness. And then he said, Lord, you heal me. And you know, every time that we pray, and there have been so many times, even in the past year, that we prayed for people and we get reports saying, you know what, I don't know what happened, but something happened and my life changed, the situation changed. You know why? Because God answers prayer for healing. He said, I thank you for healing me. I thank you for redeeming me. He didn't know about redemption as like we do with the cross and what Jesus did. But he said, I'm glad for redemption, for love, for satisfaction, for renewal, for mercy. He's got a list of things. And he says, in all of these things, I give God praise. And then in verse number 17, he sneaks it in a little bit further. He said, but I've got to say, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. He said, God just has so much mercy on my life. Sometimes our problem is we connect praise with feeling. If I feel good, I will praise him. If I feel blessed, I will praise him. If I feel on top of the world, I will praise him. If I feel like I'm doing really well spiritually, I will praise him. Do you know the Bible never tells us to praise him because we feel anything? It doesn't tell us to praise him because I'm being blessed right now. But it teaches us to praise him because he is the God who is good and is great and who loves us, and the God who is worthy at all times of our praise. You know, there are sometimes that you're the voice in your own head, or the voice of the enemy, the devil, will try to tell you, you can't worship God, you can't praise God, because your life is a mess. You know what? We all have times like that. But the Bible doesn't say you can't praise him because your life is a mess. As a matter of fact, when Paul and Silas were in prison, wrongfully in prison, the Bible says that at the midnight hour, now they were night owls, that at the midnight hour, they began to sing and praise the Lord and pray while they were bound hand and foot in a prison cell. They began to praise God. They had no promise of anything happening when they praised God. But they were together and there was something in that environment that said, well, if we're going to be here and it's this late at night, we can't go anywhere. We can't do anything else. And they can stop us from preaching, but they can't stop us from praising. And so we're going to praise God. And you know the story, all of a sudden, God sent an earthquake, the prison doors all open, the shackles drop off. All because they praise. Sometimes your praise changes your life. Sometimes your praise changes the life of those around you. You know, in that story, sometimes we think, well, it's wonderful what God did for Paul and Silas. But if you remember the rest of the story, the jailer came and he was going to kill himself because he knew if the prisoners were all gone, the doors were all open, that the Romans were going to put him to death. And so he came ready to kill himself, and Paul and Silas cried out and said, hey, don't hurt yourself. We're all here. Now, there's a couple of miracles there. One is the miracle of the earthquake that opens the prison doors. The second miracle is the doors of the prison are open, the shackles have dropped off, and the prisoners stayed in their cells. Like, that's a miracle. And the third miracle is that God used all of that to change the life of a jail guard and his family. Sometimes God works through your praise to reorient your thinking for yourself, but sometimes your praise can have impact beyond yourself that touches somebody else's life. Psalm 103, verse 2, gives the challenge. He said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not. There's sometimes that we have a problem remembering things, and we forget the blessings that we've received. Forget not. Remember. Sometimes we need to have like a praise book where you can write down all the blessings you've received from the Lord And then at the time when you feel like nothing is going right and you don't have anything, you can dig that out again and begin to give God thanks for all of his benefits. Finally, praise him in the good times and praise him in the bad times. Praise him when things are going your way, but praise him when things aren't going your way. You know, you can praise your way through a problem. You say, well, I don't see how that works. You know what? Praise changes the way that you look at life. It changes the way you look at problems. And sometimes when, as you praise, God does what he did with Paul and Silas, and he brings an earthquake, or he has something happen that will change the situation. But even if God doesn't change the situation, he changes you to be able to go through it and survive it and to live through it and to be victorious through it. Let me read one more. Give me grace. Let me read a couple more verses of Scripture. Psalm 34, verse 1. Psalm 34, verse 1. Now, I left the heading in there, even though it was long. Because it says, it's a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Now, let me give you the backstory on this. David gets run out of Israel because King Saul, his father-in-law, wants to kill him. And so he goes down to the land of their ancestral enemies, and they give him refuge. But then they go to war against Israel again, and the leaders of the Philistines are saying to the king, look, he's got his group around him, he's got an army there, and as soon as we attack Israel and we're defending ourselves and we're moving forward, he is going to attack us because he's Jewish, and he's going to fight for them. And so they wanted to kill him. They wanted to just end it all. And so they brought David, and the Bible says that David acted like he had lost his mind. He drooled on himself. He scratched around. He made weird faces. Now, the Bible doesn't give us all that detail, but work with me here. He made himself look crazy, like he had lost his mind, like he didn't hardly know where he was. And they looked at him and they said, well, you know what? This guy is not a threat. Like this guy, we're not worried about him anymore. He's not really with us. He's not going to bother anybody. He's not even with us. And I thought about that. And I guess it worked. But can you imagine how humiliating it would be to be the one who's anointed to be the king of Israel? To be the one who has been a leader of men, a great warrior? To have to make like you've lost your mind completely? To get out of trouble. It would be so totally humiliating. And then to know that there were others around who saw him do it. But I want you to notice what he writes. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And then he said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Oh, make God big with me. Oh, make God's praise be known with me. Let everybody know how good God is. He said, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Notice verse number 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all of my fears. You know, one of the things that plague us even today is our fears. But he said, he delivers me from my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. But then in verse 6, he said, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. And then in verse 8, he kind of sums it up and he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. You see, it's on the mountaintops that you plant the flag of victory. But it's in the valley that you discover the lily of the valley. It's in the valley that things grow and there's growth within your life. It's in the valley that you discover the rose of Sharon. In Psalm 23, I was thinking about that great psalm. You know, the pastures are not in the mountaintop. We talk about the great experience, the mountaintop, the victory experiences, but the pastures are in the valleys. The still waters are not running down the side of the mountain, they're in the valley. And in Psalm 23, verse 4, he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And then notice this as well. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And then he says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You know what David was saying? Even in the valley, I've got to give God praise, because the God who gets me to the mountaintop is also the God who walks with me through the valleys of my life. That's why I've got to give him praise. And finally, I close with this. Come back to the music. Psalm 150. This is the last psalm. And it seems like every time they come to the end of one of the books of the Psalms, they just have to go to praise. The psalmist here said, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power." Notice verse number 2. "Praise him for his mighty acts." Praise him for the things that he's done, not the things that I've done. "Praise him according to his excellent greatness." You know, even in the times when I feel like I'm small and insignificant, God is great and worthy to be praised. I don't lift my hands and praise God because I feel like doing it. I lift my hands and praise God because he's great and worthy of praise at all times. He goes on. He said, "Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and the harp, the instruments. Praise him with the timbrel, the dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals." And then in verse number 6, sometimes we say, well, who can praise the Lord? He said, "Let everything that hath breath." You say, well, pastor, you don't know what happened this week, but let everything that hath breath. Well, you don't know the failure or the thing that I've had to walk through, but let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. The criteria that he gives is not that I'm on the top of everything. It's not that I've done everything right in my life. He said the criteria to praise the Lord is that I've got enough breath in my lungs that I can lift my voice to say, "Thank you, Jesus." And there's sometimes that's all you can do. But when you begin to praise him, the Bible says God inhabits the praise of Israel or his people. God's right there. So we stand together tonight. I've got to give him praise. The psalmist is saying, in whatever comes along, and you know, I've discovered in my life that some of the greatest experiences that I've had with the Lord have come some of the darkest experiences of life. And that it's in those times when you begin to, by faith, I don't praise him by feeling, I praise him by faith. It's in those times that when you begin to praise God, whether it's any of the biblical expressions of praise, it may be that you're at home and you got just a worship song on, and there's something that begins to happen. You begin to praise God in your home. You see, you don't have to be in church to praise God. But when you begin to praise God in the middle of the battle, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the blessing, Praise is like a magnet for God. And praise opens my spirit to allow God to be at work within my life. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. We're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, for your spirit that's at work. And I pray that in each one of our lives, Lord, that you would inspire us in praise. Lord, that you would inspire us as we go through life, Lord, to look above the things that are around us, to see the God who is not only in us but above us, to see your greatness in all of life. Lord, I pray that just as you told the Samaritan woman at the well, Lord, that you look for those who will worship you. Lord, tonight, I thank you for your spirit that's here in this place. And I thank you for the invitation that you always give us to worship you and to exalt you. And Lord, in this place, I pray as we praise you and as we exalt you, Lord, that you would begin to minister and move within our lives, and your touch will be felt. In Jesus' name, amen. In Jesus' name. We're going to sing. We're going to take a time to pray. And I'm going to invite all of us. We've got lots of room down here. I'm going to invite you just to come and to stand here, to step out of your seat and come and stand here. And just in whatever way, whether you want to just close your eyes and talk to the Lord or lift your hands and talk to the Lord, but whatever way it is, just to take some time tonight before we leave this place to together to lift our hands and lift our voices, lift our hearts to the Lord, just to say, God, I worship you. You're amazing. You know what? Whatever's been going on in your life, you know, you might have had the greatest week that you've ever had, and praise the Lord for that. You might have had the worst week you've ever had. But in the middle of it all, God is the one that's worthy of our praise. And as we praise him, we open our hearts for God to do something special in us. And so as we sing this song tonight, I'd like to invite you just to step out of your seat to come. If you need something from the Lord, ask him tonight, Lord, move in my life. Work in my life tonight. God's here to meet you as you reach out to him in praise.